Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, May 20th. We're back with you after a day off because we're not here every day.
We're not here every day.
Because we can't be here every day because, just because.
Yeah, just because.
We're trying to take it easy. I can't sleep in anymore because I get up at 6 for the stock market. But
how was your trading this morning?
Well, yesterday was a disaster.
Okay.
Another disaster. Down 2,500 at the simulator. That killed me, man. So today I was a lot more careful, a lot more conservative. So I only made like 150, but at least was a winning day.
Now I gotta ask, is this something that, do you ever smoke weed before doing this? Or do you like to do this sober?
No, I do it without, because I just get up like 20 minutes before.
Yeah.
So it's too early to smoke.
But,
well,
definitely smoked hour, first thing this morning.
Half an hour later, I do. But no, that's not the point. The point is that I'm still learning, you know, and I need to understand that.
Definitely.
You know, that take my time, understand it. And I mean, everywhere I read, it takes like years to be good, you know.
So frustrating.
So in the beginning, you just have to be careful. Not worry so much about the money as how you perform, you know.
Yeah.
Not worry about how much you're making and stuff.
Sure.
Which, by the way, the guy that I'm following that's teaching this stuff.
Yeah, your trading sensei.
Right. You know how much he made yesterday? $47,000. Jen.
Moment of silence, please.
In half an hour. In half an hour. Doesn't it embarrass you for that?
Yeah, just a little bit. Poor? Yeah. I mean, feel like in times like this, this is okay. So whenever people ask the question, like if you could pick one superpower, what would it be? It took me years to realize that my superpower would be what Neo has in The Matrix, where he can just download abilities.
Yeah. Into his brain.
Right. So I feel like this is where that would come in great handy, is just download all of that strategy and info.
I know. So I can start making serious money.
Yeah. Imagine just being a pro trader in like what? How long have you been doing this? A few weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's been doing it for 10 years.
Yeah. Now imagine competing with him just after a few weeks. Right. How sweet would that be?
Right. You know? But the thing is that, yeah, he's gone through a lot of losses and stuff too. But the point is to stick to it, you know, not to give up.
Yeah.
And the way to do it is to manage your losses, you know, and that's what I did today, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to learn strategies from him, you know. I mean, it's that's the point. You have to learn a strategy.
Yeah.
And until now, I just kind of go in and go, oh, it's going to go up now. It's going to go down now. It's almost like gambling, you know.
Sure. It's so, kind of, yeah, the uncertainty.
Right. But a lot of people do make it. So not a lot of people, but they say 5 to 10% of everybody that starts actually makes money.
There's room in there for you, though.
There is.
There's room in there for you.
There's room in there for me. But just imagine. That's the amazing thing. That's why you have winners, why you have losers, is that yesterday we were following the same stock the whole day, right?
Yeah.
And he makes 50 grand and I lose 2,500. So, and doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So just because sometimes by the time he finishes saying what he's doing, it's too late. The prices move so fast. You can't even believe it.
It's Jen. Over.
It's unbelievable. But it's adrenaline producing, you know?
I mean, I know you're like giddy and blushing right now, just like talking about it.
I know, but I'm not happy about losing and stuff, but it's part of it. You know, you learn from it.
Yeah.
And thank goodness I'm only on the simulator now, and I'm definitely not ready to spend real money yet.
No.
Until I'm confident. But that's what I'm after, you know? I mean, I just want to have freedom. Like, you know, they're saying that probably the main reason it attracts people is because it's the lifestyle, you know? I mean, you don't really work hard. I mean, it is difficult to make money, but actually doing it, it's not hard. You just spend an hour or so.
Like the time consumption aspect of it is low.
Yeah, you know. And then, you know, you're free to make as much money as you want. There's nobody telling you what to do. You don't have to look for customers, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
So it's very, very appealing, you know.
That is very appealing.
Yeah. But I promise you, once I learn how to do it well, I'll teach you too if you're interested.
I am interested.
I already have two people.
I'd love to be free to do what the fuck I want during my day. Every morning I wake up and I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Here we go.
And, you know, I mean, it may sound like a man thing, but there's a lot of women doing it too.
Oh, it doesn't sound like it sounds like a
really
like a me thing.
Okay.
Money sounds like a me thing to me. Money doesn't remind me of men, it reminds me of me.
Right. No, but really, the training itself. But no, I mean, it's mostly men. I don't know why, but you do have the women there, which is very very nice to know. But I already have a couple people in line I'm gonna teach, and that's my son and my friend Doug. But I'm open. I mean, if I do it well, why not? You know?
Yeah.
Let everybody share.
Yeah, that's amazing.
There's enough money for everybody.
Do you have to pay for the training?
I did. Yeah. But you know what? It's like for a month, it's like $1,100. But I got it for. They kept sending me promotion and stuff, and I ended up at $200.
Wow.
For this whole thing. And
why not?
And that includes the simulator and being in the chat room and watching him and all that. So, yeah, now every month it's like 150 or something until you decide you don't need it anymore.
Yeah.
But it's not a lot for what you're going to be getting, you know? I mean, you're learning it from a pro, you know? So even $1,000 would have been. I mean, a lot of people do pay that. So, I mean, if you look at it as you're learning a profession, you learn a skill.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that think it's like gimmicky anything like that. But
he's got the receipts to show for it, you know.
Yeah,
everything's documented.
Yeah,
I mean, his thing is he started from 500, and 3 years later he ended up with 1 million. Now it takes him a year to get to 1 million.
That's not a bad year.
No, actually, he's not. He can't get to 1 million if 50,000 was his busiest day. Yeah, but still, 500,000 a year, maybe something like that. You know,
man, 50,000 in a day.
Oh, wait a minute, that's in a day, not in a month. Yeah, no, he's rich in millions. Yeah, I mean, this young guy is in his 30s. You know,
what's his number?
And he's not attached either. I don't think so.
Wow,
he's totally consumed by this. So yeah, you might want to contact him.
You're like, I need help. I'm just kidding. I'm never a damsel in distress type. Yeah, oh. No way. I'm more likely
like
to be like,
time.
Yo, teach me.
Yeah, you're not.
Come
the
on,
time.
Push him around a bit.
So, folks, in a few minutes, we're going to have a phone guest.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we haven't had one in a while, and we're going to be talking about anti-Semitism.
Great.
He created a documentary. It's going to be on PBS. So we're going to talk to him about that, and because the situation has gotten worse lately, it seems.
Yeah.
You know, although it's always been around, but...
Yeah, I mean, with social media, you hear about it so much more as well because people have access to share it. We now have phones to document it.
That's true.
You know, so yeah. I know with this corona stuff, there's a lot of hit coming down on, you know, the Asian community. And I think it's just so shitty. People being like, I don't want to eat Chinese food right now.
Right.
I'm like, well, it has nothing to do with it.
Yeah. You'll see. I mean, we're going to play a little clip from the movie. And you'll see that some people claim that the Jews or the Israelis caused this virus, you know. So it's always the Jews, you know. It's always the Jews. But
have you seen Al Pacino's in a new show about...
yeah, I saw that, the beginning
Hunters,
of it.
Hunters, yeah.
Yeah, I saw the beginning of it, and then like two, three chapters and then, or episodes. And then I just... I don't know. I can't stick to anything. You know?
Yeah. No, I feel that. I think it's great, though. I've been. I'm also a Logan Lerman fan, and there are a few other cast members there that are pretty sweet. imagery is great. I think the show's cool because they go from like kind of sillier things to really, really heavy scenes.
Really?
And they manage both at the same time, which I think is really interesting. Huh. Like they had this one scene where they were like dancing to Stayin' Alive, and then they have these scenes in the concentration camps, like, you know, like a few minutes later in a different scene.
Wow.
Yeah, and the flow between the scenes is like flawless, I think. It's really interesting. So, yeah.
So you analyze movies when you see them too, right?
Being oh, yeah.
an actress and everything.
I mean, more so from a filmmaking aspect.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I seldom look at that. I mean, only when it really stands out, you know, like if it's really good acting or effects or...
Yeah.
Yeah, if something stands out, I'm like, wow, you know.
Sure.
Often it's camera angles and movement and things like that, or special effects. How did they do that?
Yeah.
You know, things like that. So, but otherwise, I try to enjoy the story, you know.
I know it's hard when you are in the film business because you just start analyzing. Like a friend sent me a short that he was in the other day, and I was just completely in my mind, like analyzing the director's angles and why didn't he do an extreme close up here or there or whatever it is.
Right.
So I was kind of, I kind of go into analyze mode with it a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, here's our guest calling, so...
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to take this call. Good morning, this is Sam and Jen.
Hey, good morning.
And you're on the air, go ahead. Who is this?
Oh, this is Andrew Goldberg.
Yes, Andrew. Yes, good morning. You don't have to tell us who you are, we already know, but we have to be formal about it. I mean, we expected you call, Andrew, so thank you for calling in. Where are you calling from this morning?
Well, I'm in Rhode Island, but I'm originally based in New York City.
Wonderful.
So, we're here hiding out while our city goes through its terrible problems.
Yeah, yeah. It's awful. What do you think about the situation? Do you think it's going to end soon, or are we in it for the long haul?
I don't think we'll be back to normal for at least a year.
Wow.
I'm not a big believer in it. I certainly don't believe anything that the administration is saying.
Right.
But, you know, we'll have to see how quickly they can get some vaccines going, if they get them going at all. Let's try to
Definitely.
Keep an open mind. But I don't think I feel comfortable sending my kids back to school in September, at least not the way things currently are.
Wow. So this is pretty serious. I mean, the economy is going to tank big time by then.
If it hasn't already.
Yeah. I know.
Definitely
they're saying we're already in a deep depression, which is true. But you know, I mean, but once it's over, I think things are going to be pick up rather quickly because it's not a recession or a depression that started from economic trouble. It started because of something else, you know. So the economy was doing well. It just depends on how people are going to be without money at the end, you know?
Yeah, I mean, my mom even said this morning there are a lot of houses in the neighborhood going up for sale.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
So I wonder if that has anything to do with it.
Yeah. So, Andrew, you grew up in New York?
No, born and raised in Chicago and moved to New York in 94.
Oh, wow.
And I just, I'll be turning 52 in June. Can't
nice.
Believe it.
June what?
26th.
Okay, I'm the 15th.
Oh, well, congratulations. So your birthday's coming
but
up.
But not 1968. When were you born? That's the question.
About 20 years after that.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
But I'm older than you, so there you go. You know, I was born in 1960. But Andrew, let's get to the point of why you're calling this morning. You produced a film, a new PBS documentary, called Viral, Antisemitism and Four Mutations. Please,
yes.
So explain the title first so
yes,
we
please.
Know what we're talking about.
So the film is a documentary that airs on PBS next Tuesday, and the film is a look at antisemitism in four different places around the world. Mm. The idea is that antisemitism is like a virus. It's like a sickness. It spreads like a virus from person to person and infects them. With,
wow.
But in this case, instead of infecting them with, you know, a biological element, it infects you with an idea or a way of thinking. And we looked at four different forms of this. Oh, and as viruses mutate to attempts to stop them, this virus mutates based on where it's infecting people and what those people are trying to do to stop it. So we looked at four examples. In the United States, we looked at the far right. And in the United Kingdom, in England, we looked at the far left, the Labour Party. In Hungary, we looked at how the government has created a propaganda, an anti-Semitic propaganda campaign. So that's kind of from the top down. And then in France, we looked at how it's coming from a minority community, which are people of Muslim origin and radicalized Islamists. And that's sort of from the bottom up. So you have it in coming from all directions, four different mutations. But of course, it could have been 400 mutations.
Right.
There are many different forms of anti-Semitism, just like there are many different forms of viruses. I will say one important point. Viruses are not malicious. A virus doesn't seek to harm you solely because it wants to harm you.
Right.
In a certain sense, calling anti-Semitism a virus is insulting to viruses.
Yeah.
Because a true anti-Semite is malicious. He or she seeks to harm. Coronavirus, COVID-19, does not want to hurt you. It doesn't want to hurt you. It simply wants to survive. Anti-Semites do not want to survive. There was nothing about the Third Reich that wanted to survive. And I don't believe that the man who shot everyone in Pittsburgh felt that he had to kill everyone in a synagogue in order for him to survive.
Right.
So in this sense, a virus is better than an anti-Semite.
Right.
Which, if you think about it, is a kind of interesting and fitting way to put it.
Right. And, you know, I've often wondered about it. I mean, Jen and I are both Jewish and I'm Israeli. So, you know, we've thought about all these things. And, you know, to me, it always seemed like anti-Semitism is probably the most ancient form of hatred. It's been around forever. That it even has a name. You know, I don't know of another hatred that actually has a name.
Yeah.
You know, so it's become such an ingrained part of humanity, if you will. And so what are some of the things in the film that we can take away from the film? I mean, you have some very famous people in the film. You have Bill Clinton and Tony Blair and so forth. What are some of the things you discovered talking to these people?
There's one common theme that runs throughout anti-Semitism that makes it different from any other kind of bigotry. I don't want to say that, you know, people say, is it unique? Is it, they want to elevate it to a higher spot. I would say it's different. There's no one that's better or worse or more special, so to speak. It is certainly one of the oldest hatreds. Some people have called it the oldest hatred or the longest hatred.
Right.
But each bigotry has its own defining characteristic. So in the case of anti-Semitism, it's the belief that the Jews seek to harm non-Jews and that Jews are working behind the scenes in a cabal, so to speak, or that there is a conspiracy. The Jews are behind the decline in the economy. Jews are now being blamed for the coronavirus. Hitler blamed the Jews for the problems of Germany. In the Middle Ages, when there was the Black Plague, which killed 50 million Europeans, the Jews were blamed for spreading the Black Plague by poisoning the wells. So Jews are blamed for doing bad things, for controlling governments, and for controlling the weather. Some people believe that the famous Jewish family, the Rothschilds, control the weather.
Right.
How this small group of people have amassed such immense power without me knowing about it is baffling to me, but that's the conspiracy. And so when you look at, for example, you know, the man who shot up the synagogue in Pittsburgh, he says he was blaming Jews for immigrants from South America coming to the United States.
Mm.
When you look at the Labour Party in England, which hates Israel, they blame Israel for all the ills of Western society. Israel is to blame. You could listen to someone on the far right in the United States talk about the Jews are evil, the Jews seek to harm, the Jews want to control the West, the Jews want to cause violence. Replace that with the word Israel and go to England and you'll get the same thing. Israel is evil, Israel are Nazis, Israel wants to harm people, and it's exactly the same thing.
Right.
So that's the right, that's the left. When you go to Hungary, they're blaming a Jew for supposedly letting Muslims into the country.
Mm.
Again, a Jew, yeah. A powerful Jew who they blame is George Soros, a billionaire. George Soros must be working behind the scenes to bring Muslims into our country. And so all these examples of anti-Semitism, the Jews are a powerful force. They don't really know who they are because they can't see them, except maybe George Soros or the Rothschilds. But they're this powerful force that seeks to harm the non-Jew. This is different from, for example, how people feel about South American and Hispanic immigrants. They believe they're taking their jobs.
Right.
The Hispanics are taking your jobs. The Chinese, they say, are doing two things. They're taking your factories, and the Chinese are spreading coronavirus. Everybody has their own thing they're doing wrong.
Right.
Right. Every homophobia has its own Every bigotry, such as, you know, homophobia, racism, has a certain thing that they blame for. But with Jews, it's that we need to stop the Jews. This is what makes it so different. They don't kill gay people because they want to stop gay people. They kill Jews because they believe that Jews, if not stopped, will harm everyone. It's a very unique way in that regard.
Right.
Conspiracy.
Now, Andrew, I think the biggest question is why, right? Why the Jews? Why do people feel that the Jews are so evil? I mean, it's such a small percentage of the population, and yet they are so prominent in good and bad things. But the thing is, why? I mean, obviously, most of these tales are not most, but all of them are inaccurate, untrue, and there were reasons for the pogroms in Europe and the Holocaust, but this has existed for centuries, like you said. Why the Jews? Why is this going on?
Well, we the people who study this believe that you can, and this is pretty much what most academics believe. This is not a thing where there's a lot of argument, that it has to do with the way the Christian Bible was interpreted throughout Europe. From the earliest years, the Bible talks about how the Jews called for the Romans to kill Jesus. Now, the Romans controlled that country. They controlled all of what would become Palestine and what would later become Israel. The Romans had the final say. The Romans killed Jesus. But in the Bible, the way it's written, that the Jews asked, the Jews, this sort of abstract group, right? The Jews, right, asked the Romans to kill Jesus. That the Jews were behind this pushing the Romans to physically do the crucifixion of Jesus, but the Jews were the minds behind it. The person who betrays Jesus to the Romans, who says where he is Judas. Interestingly enough, his name is Jew.
Right.
Judas. So here we have Jews working with governments behind the scenes to kill someone that the Christians, or who would become the Christians, believe is a holy man. This is interpreted throughout Europe for centuries. The Jews killed Jesus. The Jews killed Jesus. The Jews killed our Lord, they said. The Jews killed God. No other religion accuses another of killing its God. Now, Jesus was supposed to die. That's how Christianity works. But that part is forgotten. What isn't forgotten is that the Jews are the ones. And so throughout Europe, you have people who are illiterate, who can't read, who sit down in church, and the priest stands up there, and the priest starts to rail against the Jews because the Bible says that the Jews killed Jesus. The Christian Bible is not friendly to Jews.
Right.
Right? Jesus rejects Judaism. And so throughout history, throughout Europe, people are taught the Jews are the killers of Christ. The Jews work with governments behind the scenes. The Jews did not accept our Lord and Savior. The Jews are bad.
Mm.
And this never stops. You can trace you can draw a straight line all the way to Adolf Hitler. What Hitler did was extremely historic in terms of how Christianity is contextualized in that part of the world. He simply uses different language. Right? He says,
right,
the Jews are the ones destroying the German economy. Well, this is the silliest thing in the world. How could this tiny little number of people destroy a German economy? So he kills 6 million of them.
Yeah.
And that's what we get. We never get rid of it. We never shake it after that. We can't get rid of it. It has nothing to do with Jewish success. Thousands of examples of anti-Semitism are against the poorest Jews in the world. Whole communities of Jews that live in little tiny villages who are effectively flat broke are subjected to terrible anti-Semitism.
Right.
They're not rich. They're not successful. People always say, well, the Jews are rich. The Jews have power. Historically, there's no truth to that whatsoever.
Right.
So
yeah,
that's where we're left.
Yeah. There's no truth to any of this, you know, and that's just the thing. It's just sort of like, you know, conspiracy theorists, you know, trying to blame some people for the ills of the world, you know,
for
like,
sure,
like you said, with Hitler and all this stuff. So you're saying really the differences started when Jesus rejected Judaism, and then people blamed the Jews for what the Romans did,
yeah,
actually.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly that. There's a line in the Christian Bible. We call it the Christian Bible, right? We don't call it the New Testament or the Old Testament. We would refer to it as the Hebrew Bible, which is the old Jewish one, so to speak. Right. And then the Christian Bible, they call it the New Testament. But I don't call it, and scholars don't call it the New Testament, because that suggests that the Hebrew Bible was the Old Testament. It's not old. So it's simply different. So that's why we say the Hebrew Bible and the Christian Bible. And in the Christian Bible, there's a sentence that the Jews said, let his blood be upon us, about the killing of Jesus. Let his blood be upon us. Whoever wrote that book really wanted the Jews to be blamed for the killing of Jesus. Right. I mean, can you imagine someone screaming when they were about to kill someone, let his blood be upon us? You'd have to be a lunatic.
Yeah,
yeah,
a whole
for
community
sure.
of Jews would never cry out a silly sentence like that.
Right.
Yet it's in the Bible.
Right.
And so.
Now, do you think it's also because this has been thrown around for a long time, but do you think it's also because Jews are different in a way? They don't want to convert. They stay in their communities, things like this. Do you think this bothers people too?
I think it's certainly fair to be said that when any ethnic group does not assimilate to the larger population, so, for example, when you have the Orthodox in Jews in, for example, New York, large communities of Orthodox Jews who wear black clothes and black hats and what are called stroimels, which are big fur hats when they go to certain holidays, that those who are not a member of that community will look at them with suspicion. This,
right.
We know historically happens all the time.
Right. Even in Israel, however, it happens, you know? That's the amazing thing.
Let me just say.
Sure.
Yeah. But Hitler, the Jews that Hitler hated were assimilated. The Jews that Hitler hated, you couldn't have known the difference whether he was a Jew or a German, or she was a Jew or a German, by walking down the street, because any Jew was wearing German-made clothes, was wearing European clothes, was speaking German as their first language.
Right.
So Hitler hated Jews that were completely assimilated.
Oh,
he ultimately killed many Jews that were not, but the Jews that were in Berlin and Hamburg and all around Germany were indistinguishable to a regular person on the street. You couldn't tell who was a Jew and who wasn't a Jew. You wouldn't even know where to begin. And so, yes, people dislike groups who look different, who act different, who behave different, but the worst example of disliking that group, they look the same.
Right.
How do we reconcile those two? I can't answer that question that easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the film is Viral Antisemitism in Four Mutations, talking about the phenomenon in four different parts of the world. Premieres on PBS on May 26th, that's Tuesday, at 9 p.m. Eastern. And so who else do you have in the film? You have Clinton and Blair. Who else is there that we know?
We have part of the film is narrated by Juliana Margulies.
Who's an actor, who's a
friend of mine, and graciously agreed to do this, just a portion. We have the CNN correspondent Fareed Zakaria, who many of you may know, the writer who people may or may not know named George Will from the Washington Post.
Yes.
There are a number of famous, scholars and intellectuals. There are a number of people from Parliament in England who people might not know by their first name, but they would certainly recognize the fact that they're members of Parliament, which would be sort of akin to being a member of the Senate or the House of Representatives here.
Right.
We have the brother of a terrorist who murdered a bunch of children tragically in France. We have his brother.
Mm.
That's a sort of an interesting storyline. We have a number of victims of people who were killed, victims of people who were at the shootings, who either witnessed them or were hostages and things like that. So it's we had a lot of what you might call, I don't know what you'd call them, but we have a lot of people that we were very, very excited to get for the film. And, we think it makes a nice, good, balanced mix and all of the above to present it well.
Yeah.
I'm very
amazing.
Excited to see it.
Yeah.
Can you let our viewers know when to expect this to air?
Well, May 26th.
Oh, it is the 26th.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
So next Tuesday at 9 p.m., but always call your local PBS station or log on to their website to make sure, because some stations move things around a little bit here and there. If there's a local event or something like that, they might put it on an hour later or an hour earlier, things like that.
Yeah.
But
this is
exciting. But by and large, it'll be on at 9 p.m. across the country, 8 o'clock central.
Right. And I was wondering, when did you make the film?
We finished it early this year. We started it 3 years ago, right after the election, when anti-Semitism was really starting to get bad. You know, we started to see statistics were going up and people were talking about anti-Semitism, and the president said a couple of things that people didn't particularly like. And then a year into making this film, a year and a half into making this film, the shooting happened in Pittsburgh. So we were ready to make a film without such a violent act. And then when this violent act happened, it really upped the stakes for the problems. I mean, another one happened in near San Diego, and then there was the stabbing in New York. It's really unbelievable.
Right, right.
Wow.
Well, we commend you for taking this head on and dealing with the topic, because it's not easy.
It's important to share these kinds of stories too, as much as you can, because people don't believe that, you know, it's as relevant as it is.
Right. Or prevalent too, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Andrew, thank you so
much. I appreciate the time.
Of course. Andrew Goldberg, the film again is Viral: Anti-Semitism in Four Mutations. Check it out next week on PBS. Andrew, thanks again.
Thank you so much.
Good luck with the film and everything. And hopefully we'll talk again soon.
I love it. I love it. Thank you both, and be well.
You as well. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. Wow.
That's going to be a heavy one.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I remember I used to go to my dad's office with him when I was growing up, and he had this one patient, and he was a podiatrist, so he's down by their feet, and the woman's kind of looking up over his head and touches the top of his hair, and he kind of says, like, excuse me, you know, can I, like, what do you, you know, what the fuck are you doing? And she was actually looking for his horns.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That old tale that Jews have horns.
Right.
And he just looked at her. This was like late 90s, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. A lot of people are uneducated, like you said, and they don't really know what's going on. They're very impressionable, you know?
Yeah.
I wanted to, I didn't want to take time during his interview because he's heard it a million times, but I want to play a trailer of the film.
Sure.
You'll hear some of the things. It's about a couple minutes or so, but you'll hear some of the things that are discussed in the film and some things that people actually say about the Jews. And you wouldn't believe it. It's hard to believe that people think that, you know?
Yeah.
So let's hear a little bit. A little bit from Viral: Anti-Semitism in Four Mutations, and get an idea, and then we'll move on.
I think it was inevitable that something like this was going to happen in a synagogue.
315, hold a perimeter, we're under fire.
We had 11 dead, shot and killed.
We know people are out there self-radicalizing that want to hurt us.
He's Jewish, anti-Christian, anti-God.
The Jew was created to destroy the white Christian nations.
Pressure has been increasing on the Labour Party and its leader Jeremy Corbyn after claims of anti-Semitism within the party.
That focuses specifically on the state of Israel.
We were not expecting a political anti-Semitic firestorm like we have now.
They call me Jewish bitch.
You are evil, satanic. Leave.
This rogue state.
The intensity of the Soros campaign was just superhuman.
Viktor Orban began himself a devil, and Soros was his devil.
It's the picture of the laughing Jew. He is there plotting to destroy Hungary.
Il avait de faire sauter tout le magasin.
France is probably where it's all started, but it's clearly spread across Europe.
Breaking news here.
Accused white supremacists plan to bomb a synagogue.
Four people killed in a shooting outside a Jewish school.
Anti-Semitism is a conspiracy theory.
It begins with the idea that the Jews are evil.
Christ told the Jews their father was Satan.
That they are motivated by a desire to destroy what is good in society.
It starts with comments, it starts with words, and then it escalates.
We're in a terrifying moment. Anti-Semitism is coming at Jews around the world, from the left and from the right, from the government and from the ground up. Jews are just being bombarded.
If we don't draw a red line in the sand when it comes to anti-Semitism,
Muslims will be next, gays will be next, and everyone else who's deemed a minority will be next.
I think it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, what do those kinds of people think, like we're doing when we wake up in the morning and sit down on the couch in our living room drinking fucking coffee or some shit? Like, what is it that you think is going on in there, you know?
Well, that's the thing. They think a lot of things, you know, and but we're evil and we're satanic, and the Jews were made to kill the Christians. That's what the guy said. So, yeah, it's very difficult, you know, and people don't understand. And you would think after World War II and the Holocaust that people would just leave Jews alone, but that's not the case at all. Now that they finally have a country where they can be safe, then they're blamed there, you know. And there's no winning, man. There's always enemies.
It's
but,
like,
yeah.
I mean, people are just people.
Yeah.
You know, and
and like you said, especially, you know, I mean, many Jews are like in small communities. They're poor. They know nothing about this, you know. I mean,
yeah.
You know, so how can you blame them for all these things? But, you know, I mean, they used to.
They're just trying to pay their bills, live their lives, raise their kids.
Yeah.
You know, go to the movies.
Yeah.
You know, all of the things that all other regular people do.
Right. And then, like this guy said, you know, if we don't stop this, it's going to continue with other minority groups and stuff, you know.
Sure.
Which it does.
It already does, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I can't even, like, it's so hard to wrap your brain around, you know, ideas like this. And it's,
yeah,
it's like taking these things, these, you know, prejudices that we feel against for what's happening from people to us. And at the same time, I feel this kind of like necessity to, I just feel like people need to see, because I feel like people don't always see what's outside of what's happening to them. And people need to understand that this is not only happening to, you know, one group or another group or another group, like it's happening to all of these groups,
right?
You know, and I feel like sometimes people use it as a way to, as an additional way to divide.
Yeah.
I feel like people are constantly, like if they're not divided, they don't feel validated in their point.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Which I think is frustrating.
Right. Yeah. A lot of division in the world. A couple of things I wanted to bring up is, I guess, did you hear in Michigan, they have like floods and stuff, I guess. Two dams failed, and so the river is rising, and there's about 40,000 people under the threat of 9 feet of water.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's a river called Tira Bowasi. Have you heard of this before?
Mm-mm.
It's obviously an Indian name, Titabawasi. I think they pronounce it that way.
Sounds about right.
Titabawasi, maybe? I don't know.
Maybe.
Somebody covering. Somebody out there is laughing at my pronunciation of this.
Laughing or cussing you out, you never know.
Yeah. But so that's what's happening there. More disasters to speak of, you know.
Always.
Yeah. Have you ever seen this artist that does things with like nude people? Like he'll have like thousands of nude people get together as an art thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like in he did it in Sydney.
Like all different body shapes and stuff too.
In London. Yeah, he just calls everybody, you know, just take off your clothes and lie here, do this, do that, and that's an art thing for him. Right?
Yeah.
So now he's doing them on Zoom.
Really?
Yeah. He brought it online. So he tells people what to do, and then they just kind of lie down or whatever pose. And so here he's got like a Zoom thing with people lying on their couches face down with face masks and, you know, just kind of sleeping there. So he's got a lot of different things, you know, and it's...
Would you ever nude model?
It's funny to me. Would I nude model, like, by myself?
Yeah.
Not today.
You said not today.
Not at this point in my life. But I probably would have when I was younger.
Yeah.
and muscular and everything. His name is Spencer Tunick, and he brought hundreds, sometimes thousands of participants together for mass nude photographs. There's a picture here of when he did it in Sydney, Australia, in front of the Opera House, and there's just a sea of people. It looks like maybe 100,000 people, all nude, you know?
Oh, wow, yeah.
It's amazing. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm seeing the ones all laying in the street as well.
Yeah.
And the ones that are painted red as well. That's interesting.
I know. There's a lot of different things. So you can catch that. You know, to me, like, you know, I feel that nudity is not the same as sex, you know?
Not at all.
You know, you can be naked and, you know, there's nothing. So that's why I don't understand this this being ashamed of the human body, you know, where we keep hiding it and stuff, you know? If people want to be nudists, let them be, you know? I mean, what the hell?
Totally.
It's not.
But the problem is other people don't see it how you see it.
Right. They connect nudity with sex, you know?
Yeah, completely. So, you know. And then they blame, you know, I mean, a girl could wear a short skirt and be sexually assaulted and she's blamed for it. Right. You know what I mean? People can't disconnect the two just yet.
Right.
Or they can and they choose not to.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of these are kind of cool.
Yeah. I know. I like seeing nude people. Yeah. Real people rather than models, you know. Models all look the same.
That surprises me. I feel like you're kind of like, ugh, if they're not models.
No.
No?
I like real people. I'll take amateur porn sometimes.
Well, what about when they had that nude bike ride?
Yeah, we were talking about that, right?
Yeah, you were like, they shouldn't. You're like, I don't want to see that.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, I don't.
Busted. No, that's
true. Some, yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe I didn't. I said it because it's on the bike, you know.
Maybe
on the bike it would look weird.
All hunched over, everything all smashed.
Yeah.
This one, a bunch of nude people are laying down, holding up giant circular nipples.
Really?
Yeah, this one right here.
Oh wow!
Look like giant It's like a symbol.
How do artists get away with this shit, man? I don't know.
People love it, man.
Yeah.
They love it.
Yeah.
They love it and they love to hate it. This one looks like spaghetti.
So, do you remember a few months ago we talked about the Nissan former chief that escaped Japan?
Yes.
So, now they arrested two men.
Amazing.
A man and his... who was a former Special Forces soldier, and his son, they were charged in Japan for helping him escape. So what they're saying is they actually arrived in the country with two big boxes that looked like they hold audio equipment or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they were able to, when they left the hotel, they took the boxes with them. So nobody suspected anything. They saw him coming in with them.
Sure. So he escaped in the boxes.
In one box.
That's amazing.
I know. And then they went through security and nobody scanned it.
That's like that funny moment in an action film.
Right.
You know, like they're in a hotel room having this conversation. The guy walks in with the boxes. He's like, hey, I brought the boxes. What are we going to do with them? And the other guy's like, I'm getting in. And he's like, you're shitting me. And then he looks at his other friend that's sitting there and he's like, I told him not to do it. And then the other guy's like, you're fucking crazy. And then they have this whole back and forth conversation about it. And then they show him in the lobby.
Yeah.
You know, carrying the boxes.
But wow. It's just wow the way they smuggled him out of there, you know?
Things
just worked for them.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. Private jets. It's like a movie, like a thriller.
Yeah.
The way they
I
did
would watch
this.
That film.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah.
I know.
We should make it. Yeah, let's do it. When you get some money with your trading, you can be our executive producer.
I'll finance your movie
yeah,
for you.
Great. Perfect.
Oh god.
I was gonna say let's shake on it, and then I was like, wait, no, coronavirus. Yeah,
exactly.
And then I'm like,
plus
what are people gonna do in business transactions? What's gonna be the new seal the deal,
right?
If it ends up not being a traditional handshake, unless it's a handshake with a glove on,
right? And here we like to hug people come in. How are we going to go back to that? I don't know.
I don't know, man. Everyone just wear parkas.
Yeah. And you see, what Andrew said is true. I mean, it probably will take about a year, just that we don't want to admit it, you know?
Yeah, totally. My mom said the hospital is slowing down just a little bit, so that's a good sign.
Yeah.
But there could be a spike at any point as things lighten up, so.
Right.
We'll see.
And then, you know, even though once we conquered this, we still have the economy now to deal with. You know?
I know.
A lot of people broke. A lot of businesses out of business. It's very scary, you know.
It is scary.
Yeah.
This
man went to rob a shop wearing a watermelon on his head. There's a picture of it.
Really? Hold on. I'm going to look this up.
Yeah.
Man. But
man who wore a watermelon on his head. You'll probably see it. So there was actually two guys. They wore the watermelons as face masks.
20-year-old Justin Rogers. Oh, my gosh. It looks like a little alien head.
I know. People are saying, you know, I mean, it's crazy that you would actually hollow out a watermelon and stick it on your head, you know? It's so stupid.
It's pretty great.
I mean, who thinks about that?
This is going to be the next Halloween costume.
Yeah. He cut out two holes for his eyes.
For the eyes, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
What's wrong with just a mask from the party store?
Oh, my God. There's also a guy who wore watermelon on his feet. His shoes. I'm like, such a waste of good watermelon.
I know. I love watermelon.
Me too. Huh? And here in California, it's ripe all times of the year.
Yeah.
On the East Coast, there's like 2 or 3 months in the summertime when it's right, like amazing. Summer. Yeah.
But you know, I got to tell you, when it's off season here, it tastes like shit, you know? I mean, you may find it in the store.
Yeah.
But it's pink. It's not red, you know? The texture.
I didn't think it was seasoned yet. And I had one like 2 weeks ago and it was amazing.
Yeah. No, I mean, I've had two for several months and actually, and they've been pretty good for the most part.
Yeah.
So I don't know, you know, but yeah, because I think they bring them from Mexico or something, right?
Okay.
So they're ripe like
around
the clock or something.
Yeah, we don't have access to that on the East Coast.
Yeah. No, you don't. All the Mexicans are here.
But in the summertime, our fruit is incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll give them that.
In New York?
Jersey.
Oh, in Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
New York produce is complete garbage.
Really?
If it's associated with New York, it's garbage. Everything's all bruised.
Okay, we'll have to accept that.
Yeah, you have to.
This comes from a native.
It's true. The worst is the fingernail marks in the apples. That kills me. People just like dig a fingernail mark into it.
Where? The store?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they're assholes. They just like squeeze the apple, or it's like someone's kid. Or so, I'm sure it's plenty of adults. I'd put money on it. And they just like squeeze the apple and you see them like dig their little fingernails into it.
Wow.
So gross.
I saw a video on Facebook yesterday of this guy, this young kid or whatever he was, spitting on the fruit in the store.
Ew.
And the owner comes and he slaps him so hard that the guy falls and the oranges fall on him.
Dude, I'm so glad he got slapped.
I know, man. Who does that? You know?
A slap is a perfect like punishment for that, I feel like. Like a real good slap. But that's perfect.
One that makes you fall.
Right? Yeah, definitely.
Did you ever see those slapping contests where guys stand in front of each other?
They just slap
like
each other.
Like arm wrestling, but they...
Yeah.
And then they show like this really big guy. So the small guy hits him, the guy, nothing happens to him. And then the other one hits him.
It's like a
him.
Cheek jiggle.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the big guy hits him and he falls unconscious on the floor. Oh, man.
Oh, my
gosh. The stuff you see online is unbelievable.
I know.
Right?
There's a running joke among the memes about the internet being undefeated.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, undefeated is perfect wording for it.
That's true.
Yeah, undefeated.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so much that we would never see in our lives if it weren't for...
So much.
For Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah.
And all these.
Like, whatever floats your boat, it's out there.
Right.
It's out there. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
God. I just like the people that complain all the time on Facebook about the virus and all that, you know. It's like, just shut up, man, you know.
I mean, never go on Facebook anymore.
Yeah, we all feel the same way, you know, I mean.
I know. I mean, people love to just put a video on and talk.
Yeah.
They just love to hear themselves talk, says the radio host.
No, but it's true. People do that, you know. Yeah. They like to hear their own voice.
They like to get their point across.
Yeah.
It's like they have extra courage because it's not in person. I feel like a lot of people can't argue their point of view in person. They can only argue,
yeah,
you know, through a video that right, no one else is in the room for.
That's or true.
I like to call it keyboard courage. You yeah. know, text, email, yeah. Yelp reviews.
Always behind the screen.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. All right, Jen, you ready to go home?
That's it. I'm off today.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Are you going to go anywhere? Go to the beach a little bit. I mean, you don't have to go where there's people. Go. There's like rocks in Malibu. You just sit on the rocks. There's nobody there.
Is there parking?
Yeah, right next to it. It's right on PCH.
Okay.
So you don't have to. It's not like a parking lot. You just pull at the side of the road, and there's the rocks right there.
Okay.
So, yeah, if you want to, you know, and then you just sit there and you listen to the ocean, can take a joint with you and all that. So,
yeah, have a nice floaty drive.
It's a beautiful day, you know.
Yeah, it is a beautiful day.
Don't stay home. Go out a little bit. You need to be in the sun.
Thanks. I need
bit.
That. Yeah. I need that.
Yeah.
I was going to go swimming.
You have my permission.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm like, I still want to finish Hunters. Be nice right, to go in the evening. I wonder, is the sea stuff still, whatever it's called, still blue right now or still like glowing? Remember you said it was glowing?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. You should look it up and see. Out. Yeah.
All right.
But that's at night, of course. So yeah. You can see it.
I might go tonight.
Ah.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you so much.
We'll be back here Friday with a guest. So thanks for tuning in. And
right.
See you.
Smell you later.
Bye. Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.